Mercy and peace be with you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Click, click, click. Now, if there is anything more universal of a sound for the 21st century, I can't figure out what that would be. The clicking of the computer mouse, or that tapping noise that comes from touching touch pads or our smartphones is really the soundtrack of our daily lives, isn't it? We get everything these days with a click. We get everything from our news to being able to order our groceries to checking in with maybe distant friends that we have. And while the web has brought us certainly an ease of communication, it has also shouldered us with the burden of distraction. Nowadays, you can't even go online and read an article without being bombarded first off with all of these pop-up ads, or perhaps even worse, a temptation there to click on another article that may or may not take you down a rabbit hole that you never really intended to follow from the beginning. Now, there's a term for this kind of ad that pops up. Users call it clickbait, which refers to any ad or any link with usually some kind of a shocking or teasing sort of a headline that is designed to pique your curiosity and thereby suck you in. The headlines are usually ones that don't fully deliver on what it is you think they're going to offer, and so your click usually results in multitudes of more pop-up ads happening or useless information that you're getting. For example, I just wanted to share with you a few of the ones that came up on one of my news feeds this past week, and I'm sure you, if you are one that gets your information online, you probably would have seen some of these similar ones. For example, one popped up that said, "Waitress slips married man a note. Wife later learns what it said." Or, "Where are the women from 2.5 Men today?" And then another one I saw said, "67-year-old grandmother stuns doctors. No painful treatment. Do this." So clicking on maybe any one of these clickbait ads, and I bet you you'll burn at least an hour or so without even realizing it. So is it any wonder then that the devil himself was the master of deception? He was always trying to get people distracted from what really and truly matters. And he never delivered on what it was that he promised. He played havoc with people who were driven by emotion rather than by their faith. And so, biblically speaking, there was no greater example, I think, of how this whole clickbait type strategy works than in the temptation story that we have here in this morning's Gospel of Matthew. Now, the way Matthew tells this story is very Jewish. There is echoes of the Old Testament that we find throughout the Gospel of Matthew. And here in this morning's readings, we hear it again very, very clearly. Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days, which for the readers would have certainly symbolized the 40 years that the Israelites had spent wandering around the desert before entering into the promised land. But maybe even more specific than that, this could have been a reminder as well of the 40 days that Moses spent up there on Mount Sinai before receiving God's commandments. Yet in spite of the fact that God was present with the Israelites in cloud and fire and in the tabernacle, they still wrestled with what it meant to be God's people and gave in all the time to temptation. Indeed, that is what the name Israel actually means. It is the one who wrestles with God. So Matthew sets up the scene here of Jesus' own temptation now in the wilderness, using a lot of the same type of imagery here. And the temptations of Jesus reflect the temptations of Israel while they were out in the desert. The devil shows up to offer Jesus some rather interesting shortcuts that he might be able to take for his ministry, all of which reflect the mission of Israel, beginning each one of those temptations with, "If you are the Son of God," the question then is whether Jesus will click on then any of the devil's clickbait. So what follows here are three temptations of Jesus, and I wanted to sort of pose them in a clickbait type of formula for you this morning. So here we go. Clickbait headline number one: making bread out of stones, the shocking dietary revolution that will change your life. Now, the devil's first piece of deception here is to get Jesus to use his powers to transform stones into bread. And that must have been a real temptation, I think, for Jesus, for anyone who would have been famished after having just spent 40 days out in the wilderness with no food. But it's an even bigger temptation, you might see, when you put it into the context that Matthew is. You see, many of the Jews back in Jesus' day would have been hoping for a new exodus to take place, one that would take them out of their political slavery under Roman occupation. In fact, they were looking for a Messiah who looked a lot like maybe a new version of Moses. Someone complete with God's provision of manna from heaven. So turning stones into bread would have been a sure sign, I think, back then for the people that this Messiah that they were looking for and hoping for had finally now arrived. And the devil wanted Jesus to conform, you see, to the people's expectation of that Messiah. Of course, we all know that Jesus was quite capable of being able to pull off this miraculous recipe out in the desert. I mean, after all, if he could turn water into wine, well, then he certainly could have turned stones into bread. In fact, all four of our Gospels report that he was able to feed 5,000 plus people with just five loaves of bread and two fish, which was a sign of God's provision throughout his earthly ministry. However, Jesus understood that this temptation was about focusing on the product rather than focusing on the source. And as you might recall, the Israelites wandered around in the desert, but then they eventually got sick of eating manna day after day after day. And they pined to go back to Egypt where the menu had a greater variety. They ignored the fact that God was the one who was keeping them alive and leading them towards the promised land. Bread alone wasn't enough, you see, to keep the people satisfied. So Jesus responds to the devil by quoting Moses' own words here as he warned the people, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus was not dependent, you see, upon his own ability to provide for himself and for his people, but on God's provision and on God's promises. He knew that the devil's temptation was to produce just a product rather than to rely upon the ultimate source from whom all good things come. Both he and God's people needed more than just a steady diet of bread. They needed a steady diet of God and of God's word to sustain them for that long haul. So then let's move on to the next one. Here's the next clickbait headline, number two here. Man jumps from incredible heights with no parachute. You won't believe what happens next. The devil's second temptation then is to get a kind of a YouTube video of Jesus jumping off the pinnacle of the temple and down into the Kidron Valley with no net and with no chute. The fall would have meant certain death, but the devil was certain, you see, that Jesus could land unscathed. Now, as you might imagine, such a video would have gone viral instantly and certainly ensured Jesus' celebrity status among the people, and not just those meek or few scraggly band of disciples and hangers-on who were moving around with Jesus at the time. The devil even tries to bait Jesus by quoting Scripture, as he now talks about and uses part of Psalm 91 in order to pump up the fact that God would provide here some kind of angelic safety net for that jump. But like a lot of the devil's use of deception, he uses Scripture here out of context. Psalm 91 actually says that God's protection is for circumstances that befall his people, and not for those who stupidly want to test God by taking foolish risks, especially when those risks are designed to impress others. So in response to the devil's trickery here, Jesus cites Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which refers to Israel's testing of God out in the wilderness by complaining about their lack of water. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus says this right to the devil's face. You want me to jump off this pinnacle? It ain't going to happen. Scripture says, do not test God. Jesus had no doubt, you see, about the presence of God. He had nothing to prove to anyone. At the very beginning of his ministry, he was convinced that he was following the will of the Father. In fact, only hours or days before, he had been baptized in the Jordan River, and the heavens had opened up, and he had seen the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased." In fact, those words are the very last words that we find in chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel. And so as we enter into chapter 4 this morning, immediately after those words are being spoken, Jesus is led by that same Spirit now out into the wilderness. So does the devil think that Jesus might not believe God, who was with him at that moment of his own baptism, just hours or maybe days before, was no longer with him now? Does the devil think that Jesus might actually want to test God's faithfulness and God's presence by flinging himself off of the temple pinnacle without, say, a birdman suit or something that looks like a crazed flying squirrel? Well, we can't know what the devil thought, but we can know what Jesus thought. It was a stupid idea to think that God was not with him. So let's move on then to that final temptation and to clickbait headline number 3. The secret to world domination, it's easier than you think. Now I find this one to be the most interesting of the three temptations. All the kingdoms of the world have never really belonged to the devil in the first place. But his final offer here to Jesus is to make him into the kind of a ruler that the devil could, in fact, live with, one who would just simply worship him. That kind of ruler is the kind of political or military leader that the world normally expects. Someone who exercises power to keep everything and everyone in line. The devil offers Jesus the world as it is, and the world that everyone expects it to be. All he needs to do is to fall down and worship. And then the way, and his way of owning and manipulating the human heart, the devil's way of manipulating and owning the human heart would be accomplished, you see. But Jesus is not interested in the world as it is, or even in the world that everyone expects it to be. He didn't come out of the wilderness in order to preach the reign and the rule of God here on this earth. The devil's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. God's is a kingdom of light. The devil's kingdom is all about a domineering authority. God's kingdom is all about servanthood. The devil's kingdom is about coercion, violence, and bondage. God's kingdom is all about peace. The devil's kingdom is based upon lies and upon deception. God's kingdom is all about the truth which sets us free. The devil's kingdom is a culture of death. God's kingdom is a culture of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that it would be the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, and those who were persecuted. These would be the ones who would inherit the kingdom of God. So when we are tempted to click on things that promote the world as the devil would want to portray it, Jesus reminds us to turn our attention to the reality of God's kingdom and not to the devil's fantasy world. Jesus already rules his kingdom, and he calls us to join him in making it a reality on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus refuses to be drawn into here the devil's art of deception. And we should also resist the devil as we go about our daily living as well. For there are certainly plenty of pop-up temptations that cross our path and that cross our screens each and every day. Jesus invites us instead to turn our attention to the wilderness, to the Word, and to his wisdom. And these are truly the only pop-up ads that really matter. Amen.